inserted. Yatanam, all kinds of suffering. Anuyapita, unusually severely suffered. Guruna, by his spiritual master. Bartsita, na. I'm sorry, Bartsita, rebuked. Shapta, and cursed. Jahau, gave up. Satyam, truthfulness. Na, not. Suvrata, being fixed in his vow. Chalai, pretentiously. Ukta, spoken. Maya, by me. Dharma, the religious principles. Na, not. I am this Bali Maharaj. Twajiti, does give up. Satyavak, being true to his word. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. He was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Report. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy towards his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance and has recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test, but for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. Om Jnana Timurandasya Yanajana Savankaya Chaksarami Kamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatrivishya Krivasani Devicha Patitano Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Namaha. So in previous verses, it's been discussed how Krishna takes everything away from the devotee. Bali Maharaj was bereft of all of his material opulences. He was bound. Everything was taken from him. But yet, of course, this was pointed out in so many of the previous purports that this was for the benefit of the devotee. When the devotee has everything taken away, this is an opportunity for him to surrender, an opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, this theme has been further elaborated in this verse and purport, where it's also described that not only does Krishna take everything away, but that Krishna tests his devotee. So here, Bali Maharaj is being tested by Krishna. His conviction, his determination, his sincerity is all being tested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada called this a severe examination. So he's undergoing this severe examination. And this is what's being discussed in today's verse and purport. So I think one of the first questions that we would ask, one of the important concepts here, is why is a devotee tested? Why would a devotee be tested or put into these difficulties? Particularly someone who is already an advanced surrender devotees such as Bali Maharaj. Well, one of the answers that Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport is that, first of all, it glorifies the devotee. Being undergoing these severe tests by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passing those tests makes the devotee glorious. So the devotee is remembered for all times. It's been mentioned here that Bali Maharaj passed these tests, and it says the Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance and is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. So, of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam records all of these wonderful pastimes of the devotees. And we can see that this is a fairly common theme throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. We see devotees who are given very strong tests like this, and of course they are glorified throughout the pages of the Bhagavatam. Of course, we could think of Prahlad Maharaj. Almost the entire seventh canto is a description of Prahlad Maharaj. Even more so than Lord Nrisimhadeva, Prahlad Maharaj is the one who was really glorified throughout the seventh canto. And of course, partly because he underwent such severe tribulations, such austerities, and such difficulties and dangers. And yet at all times he remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he is glorious, and is recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glorious pastimes of the devotees of the Lord. Another reason why devotees experience difficulties and experience these tests is to bring about Krishna's pastimes of appearance in this world. Actually, one of the reasons we know from the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Purutranaya Saranam Vinashana Chaduskritam, Krishna comes to deliver the pious. He says to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to establish the principles of religion, I appear millennium after millennium. So in that purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada describes that Krishna can easily kill the demons. He doesn't need to appear personally himself. He could simply kill the demons through the agency of material nature. There's so many ways people can be killed in this material world. But it is primarily to deliver the devotees that Krishna makes his appearance. So this is part of his pastime with his devotees. His devotees are put into difficulties, and then he makes his appearance to deliver them. We can see when Krishna came himself, the world was overburdened by the demoniac kings. Devaki and Vasudeva were put in great jeopardy. They were imprisoned. So many devotees were experiencing difficulties, so Krishna comes and delivered them. And we can see this in so many of his incarnations. Krishna appears specifically to deliver his devotees from danger. Devotees are also put in distress or given these very severe tests so that their love for Krishna can be increased. By being tested by Krishna, it forces one to depend upon Krishna and surrender to Krishna and therefore increase that love. Of course, very famous, Queen Kunti, in her prayer says, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So many calamities befell the Pandavas, and they were put in such difficulties, and their lives were threatened, and they were exiled for 14 years. So many different things like this happened. And why? Queen Kunti is saying that this was not really a calamity. This was not really a negative occurrence. This really gave her the opportunity to remember Krishna and to see Krishna again and again. And therefore, the result is when one sees Krishna, one no longer has to take birth in this material world, and therefore one no longer will experience the distress and the calamities of this material world. So Queen Kunti was seeing this as an opportunity to see Krishna and increase her love. Similarly, Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on 10.88.8, says, what fault would there be in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver saintly persons from suffering? It is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. During the hot summer, the cold water gives comfort. And during the cold winter months, the warm water is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of the day. When one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. In other words, to strengthen his devotee's mood of dependence on him and longing for him, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering. And when he appears in order to deliver them, the gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless. So the experience of distress that the devotee may have is far, far offset when Krishna appears and relieves that distress. It becomes that much more sweet for the devotee and increases their love and their dependence upon Krishna. Krishna also tests our determination. He tests whether we are really determined to be a devotee, to stay in Krishna consciousness. And each one of us may be tested in so many different ways. Of course, we have these very severe tests that we see in Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, but all of us are tested in different ways. And Krishna has his own plan for all of us. And part of that is to see our determination. This is from a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada in August 1976, recorded in Harisari's diary. He says, "Yes, we see from the life of Bali Maharaj how he was put into difficulty. Even his spiritual master cursed him. If a devotee is put into test and still he remains in his determination, then he's passed." That is very natural. Faith means that you are meant for giving some service to Krishna. You should stick to that service, that path, in spite of all impediments. That is the passing of the test. So there may be a severe test, but still we will remain determined. That is wanted. There may be so many impediments, punishments. Still, you should do that. That is the test. Not that as soon as there's some difficulty, I give up. There may be severe tests, but still, we shall not give it up. We must go on. That is determination. So these tests of the devotee are tests of our determination. They help to strengthen our determination when we pass those tests. So this is a very important point that Srila Prabhupada is making. Yes, there may be some test, but this is a test of our faith. This is an opportunity for us to show Krishna our determination to serve him despite some obstacles or despite some difficulties. So there's so many different examples of devotees being tested. This is a very, very common thing. We've talked about Prahlad Maharaj and the Pandavas. Also, we know Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces because of his conviction of Krishna consciousness, because he would not give up the chanting of the holy name. And all through that time, he simply depended upon Krishna more and more. He simply chanted the holy name, and with that determination, of course, he was completely saved by Lord Chaitanya. Later, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him, he showed him the scars on his own back that he had actually taken. He had absorbed those beatings on behalf of Haridas Thakur. That was Haridas Thakur's strong determination, his strong faith in Krishna, that to him this was just a very small test. To us it would have been, we would have been killed. How could any of us have stood such a thing? For Haridas Thakur, his faith was so strong that Lord Chaitanya personally delivered him from that situation. And even today, we see devotees are often put in many different conditions of difficulties and distress. Devotees used to be routinely arrested in places like the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, and some of the Arab countries. Devotees experience many, many challenges. And sometimes these are very difficult. Devotees have been imprisoned. Devotees have even lost their life. We were speaking with a devotee from China, one of the translators of Srila Prabhupada's books into Chinese when I was in Mayapur. And he was telling us how pretty much they have to have all of their activities underground. They really can't be very visible. So everything is quite secretive in China now, even though there are hundreds of devotees there. So he's saying somehow, for some reason, they installed deities in one place. And I think it was the Western devotees' bright idea, which really wasn't such a good idea, because within 24 hours, the Chinese equivalent of the KGB was all over the place. And this devotee is telling us that he was arrested and he was in prison for 1 year. And prisons in China are not very pleasant places. They're not places of recreation where you take correspondence courses and play basketball in the courtyard. No, his life was in danger constantly. But yet this devotee was smiling and laughing while he was talking about it, and had such great determination and faith. It was inspiring. It was just remarkable to see that the faith of this devotee had. So Krishna gave him a very severe test, one that would be difficult for most of us, very difficult. But yet you could see that, you know, Krishna also gave him the strength and strengthened his faith and his determination in Krishna consciousness because of this ordeal that he experienced. So Krishna is also dealing very kindly and very individually with each one of his devotees so that they can overcome these tests. And this is one of the important points that has been made in this purport, that Krishna does not give us a test which is too severe for us to handle. He also gives us the strength and ability to withstand those tests. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here, the Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. So along with that challenge, along with that test, also comes the ability to withstand that test, the ability to have the strength to meet the challenge. In the teachings of Queen Kunti, Srila Prabhupada says, when a devotee is in danger, he thinks, now Krishna has appeared before me as danger. God is never dangerous to the devotee, and the devotee is never afraid of dangers, because he is confident that the danger is but another feature of God. Why should I be afraid, the devotee thinks. I am surrendered to him. Therefore, Kunti Devi says, Vipado Shantu, let all these calamities happen again and again. Because she knows how to remember Krishna at times of danger, she is welcoming danger. My dear Lord, she says, I welcome danger because when dangers come, I can remember you. When Prahlad Maharaj's father was putting him in dangerous predicaments, Prahlad was always thinking of Krishna. So if we are put into a dangerous position, and the danger gives us an impetus to remember Krishna, that is welcome. Oh, I'm getting the opportunity to remember Krishna. Why is this welcome? It is welcome because seeing Krishna, remembering Krishna, means advancing in spiritual life, so that we will not have to suffer any more of these dangers. So, the devotee sees danger or these tests as an opportunity. Of course, that's an advanced position. It may be not so easy for us, but still, we have these wonderful examples. We have wonderful examples of Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj, and we also have examples of many devotees, even in our lifetime. Devotees that we have seen, how they withstand so many different tests. So the devotee is not really seeing anything differently. His consciousness is not of duality, seeing some things positive, some things negative, because basically the material world and everything is negative. So the devotee is simply thinking, whatever comes, this is Krishna. So Prabhupada was saying here that the devotee sees, if danger is coming, this is another form of Krishna. And therefore, it's an opportunity for me to surrender to Krishna in a time of danger. And therefore, there's no real danger. Because the devotee knows that they are being taken care of by Krishna, they are in Krishna's hands at all times, and whatever happens, whatever the result may be, is really up to Krishna. We can't control that result. So danger may be there, but Krishna is also there. And so the devotee is seen in this way. We also understand that this material world is filled with danger. It is filled with tests. It's not as though if we weren't devotees, then there wouldn't be any tests, there wouldn't be any problems, there wouldn't be any dangers. Non-devotees experience these things at every moment. Right? I mean, you can't go 1 week in the newspaper where several hundred people are killed by an earthquake or a tsunami, or people are, you know, murdered in their backyards or in their homes or whatever. In other words, the material world is a constant place of danger. It is a constant place of tests. So the devotee knows this. The devotee knows the material world is of this nature. But he also knows that Krishna is there to protect him in case of danger, to protect him in all of these circumstances. And so the devotee does not let their faith be diminished in any way, no matter what material circumstances they find themselves in. This is the difference. For the non-devotee, you know, they experience, you know, some difficulty, and it's just some terrible calamity in their life which they can't understand. It's for no reason. They just simply suffer. A devotee of weak faith or small faith might also become bewildered when put into situations of danger or difficulty. But as a devotee's faith strengthens, as it grows, as we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, we begin to see that anything negative that happens, any reversal, any danger, any difficulty that we're put in, is coming from Krishna somehow or another. And in some way or another, this is for our benefit and for our advantage. So we simply try to see Krishna in that situation. We also try to see how that situation gives us an opportunity to surrender, an opportunity to learn and to grow in Krishna consciousness. So the tests by Krishna will not diminish the faith of the devotee, but they will increase the faith of the devotee. And one more quote from Srila Prabhupada from the teachings of Queen Kunti, chapter 8. Therefore, we should not think, because I have become a devotee, there will be no danger or suffering. Prahlad Maharaj suffered greatly, and so did other devotees like the Pandavas and Haridas Thakur. But we should not be disturbed by such sufferings. We must have firm faith, firm conviction, knowing that Krishna is present and he will give me protection. So these tests are tests of our faith. And Krishna gives us these tests to strengthen that faith. So this is a very important principle in the life of a devotee. Devotees we begin with some small faith. In the beginning there must be faith, adau shraddha. But that faith grows and develops as we continue the process of Krishna consciousness. And of course, one of the first ways that faith develops is through sadhusanga. It's described that there's a little initial faith in the beginning that somehow or another enables us to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. But the faith may not be strong. In fact, this is the one of the definitions of the third class devotee, or the Kanishta Adhikari, that the faith is not very strong. Faith is still weak. When that faith develops by the process of Bhajana Kriya, the process of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, one's faith becomes a little stronger. In fact, it can be seen that all of the different stages of devotional service are actually stages of the development and the strengthening of our faith. So as that faith grows and develops through chanting, through hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing its philosophy, associating with devotees, we become more and more fixed. We become more and more determined in Krishna consciousness. And then certain tests will come along in our life. In the process of the path of bhakti yoga and our devotional service, there are many tests that may come, many different, they may not be severe dangers like Prahlad Maharaj experienced, or Bali Maharaj, or Haridas Thakur, but still, there are so many difficulties that every one of us devotees may experience. So, each one of these experiences is an opportunity for our faith to grow. And hopefully we'll pass the different tests that Krishna gives us. Sometimes we see devotees become discouraged. Something negative happens in their devotional life, something in the relationship with devotees, or some experience happens, or it might even be just something unrelated. It may be something, you know, an economic setback or a health problem or whatever, and sometimes devotees become discouraged, and they may go away from Krishna consciousness because they'll think, why is this happening to me? I'm supposed to be a devotee, and therefore everything is supposed to go well. I'm supposed to be protected in all circumstances. How has Krishna allowed this to happen to me? We've all heard that, haven't we? Sometimes we may think that ourselves. It's natural. Sometimes we think, why is this happening to me? I'm a devotee. Why am I experiencing this distress? But that's when we really need to take shelter of Krishna. We need to take shelter of the devotees and of the holy name. And understand that whatever these trials and tribulations or difficulties are tests by Krishna. And if our faith is strong, then we will come through. And Krishna will give us that strength and give us the ability and the understanding and the knowledge to be able to get through that particular situation. And then hopefully, either at the time or sometime later, we may understand that situation a little bit more, or understand what we needed to learn, or what we needed to go through, how Krishna was trying to sort of shape us and mold us to become more surrendered devotees, to become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, perhaps to give up some of our material desires, to give up some of our material attachments, things that we were holding on to that were preventing us from advancing in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna works in so many ways to help the devotee. And again, having this faith and determination that if we persevere in Krishna consciousness and we take shelter of Krishna, then we will certainly be given the strength to get through these different tests, just as Bali Maharaj and the great devotees were. Okay. So, that's all I have on this today. Are there any comments or questions? Pushkarpur?
Okay. People who like go away, and you know, because they complain that something happened to them, and, or they feel like Prabhupada even said in the first canto, how many stalwarts, you know, fell victim to Maya and stuff like that. So maybe they're just kind of fringed out, or do we just say they're just not, they're going through a long steady test, or they failed the test, or they totally blew? I mean, what do we, how do we look at that?
That's a real good question. How do we understand when some devotees seem to fail the test that come about? I think we can certainly see it as a question of faith, determination. If the determination is not strong, if the faith isn't strong, then one may fall away. We also have to remember, though, that it's not over till it's over, as they say. And somebody may temporarily have some setback in Krishna consciousness, and yet they may regain their faith, and they may regain their position in the future. It may be a very a long test of a few years, but and so it's very hard to know exactly what Krishna's dealings are with each individual devotee. You know, but the idea here is that we need to think carefully when these tests come, that they are tests of our faith, and it's not the time to give up or find reasons to leave or reasons to give up the process of Krishna consciousness. But there actually should be impetuses to actually remain stronger, become more determined, and more surrendered to Krishna. Sometimes we're not able to do that. If a person might come, and they may come for superficial reasons, or they might not have deep understanding of the philosophy, and they may fall away. Madam Han?
A couple things, naturally. You had mentioned about being arrested in a far-off country. So I thought that they go out on Harinam here Friday night. We used to go out on Harinam in 74 and 75 here downtown, same place, and we would get arrested.
Yeah.
I was arrested here, put in jail. The only time I've ever been in jail, I was, oh, this looks like going to jail, but it's a little different with devotees. They have kirtans, and then they put you, they get rid of you as quickly as they can. Otherwise, they start chanting. But also, I was wondering, instead of thinking of test all the time, sometimes I substitute the word exercise. Instead of a test of your faith, you're exercising your knowledge. Like, for instance, you read a book, How to Swim. Okay, now I know how to swim, but what happens when you get in the water? So we have all these this knowledge that we have. So the tests, which are, in one way you can say, is an opportunity to show what you know on the test when you take a test, but it's also the exercise to get it to the next level. You don't know if you know how to swim just by reading a book until they throw you in the water. So we get thrown in the water here. And one other question I thought I was going to ask is about...
I'm just going to say, hopefully the water isn't too deep until we're ready for that test.
Brother Sasado Avan, there's that 1:5:19 verse that devotees never actually does become a karmi again. He always remembers the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And he sees, as you're pointing out, what it is that he needs to exercise more. You know, like, and we're in rehab, this is what we have to exercise more.
Yeah.
That, I guess
that's oh, Jitara, I'm sorry, I missed you when you moved.
That was nice. You were saying that that Krishna arranges these exercises or tests to glorify the devotees. So whenever that's mentioned, I always remember that, you know, Srila Prabhupada had this plan that to fulfill Bhaktisiddhanta's mission, and he was thinking, well, I'll make a lot of money in business, and then when I get that money, then I'll retire and go to the West and preach. But we can see that Krishna had a different plan, and I always think about that, how, you know, Srila Prabhupada's so much more glorified. He came to this country with, you know, $7. And it's just like, every time I think about it, I think, wow, you know, I mean, how much different we would perceive Srila Prabhupada if he came with a whole boatload of money and started the movement, you know.
That's true. That's an excellent point. Yeah, just as has been described here, that these tests are also there to glorify the devotee. In a sense, everything that Srila Prabhupada went through just further glorifies him, makes what he accomplished that much more wonderful. It's a nice point, thank you. Yes.
Along the point you're just making, I was in South Africa, and it was very, very difficult when I was there. And so the GBC regional secretary said, read Prabhupada Lilamrita. So I read about the suffering, the difficulties Prabhupada went through. And it, in comparison, all of a sudden I realized it's not that difficult here. I wanted to make a comment and a question. Sometimes when we're suffering, like you were saying, Krishna may put us into suffering. Sometimes our suffering is self-inflicted. Either we do something foolish that creates suffering, or we're not processing or making the right choices within a situation, and that causes us suffering. So I don't think we should always say Krishna did it, because sometimes we're doing it to ourselves. And then I wanted to ask a question. The other day in class, Mukunda made a statement in response to a question of how we could help the next generation deal with monetary issues and or live more simply. And he said, ultimately, you don't do something because you know you should do it. You do something because you want to do it. And so I wanted to pose that question in relation to what we're discussing here, because it seems a lot of what we're talking about here in terms of determination is we do it because we know this is the right thing. So I was wondering if you could discuss the apparent dichotomy, or is it really a dichotomy, or is it a combination of both? Taste, attraction, and determination, is there a percentage of which? How do they work together, if they do work together?
Well, of course, the process is of Krishna consciousness is a continuum, from Vaidhi Bhakti, you know, through Raganuga and to spontaneous service. So in the beginning, we're in the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana, which means we're following rules and regulations. A lot of what we do in the beginning is because our intelligence has been convinced that we should follow these things, and therefore, a lot of times we have to sort of be telling ourselves and telling each other that this is, in reminding ourselves that this is the philosophy, this is why we need, how to better understand situations Krishna's put us into. And of course, eventually, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, that turns to more and more spontaneous attraction to Krishna, more spontaneous attraction to his holy name, to the form of the deity, etc. And so, therefore, one will start to naturally begin to think, you know, more. In other words, our default mode of thinking begins to shift from thinking materially and then, oh yes, but here's the Krishna conscious philosophy, to starting to actually think more first in terms of, you know, our realizations and the philosophical understandings. And then, of course, as we go down the line and become more advanced, you know, hopefully someday then, you know, we'll be directly in contact with Krishna and understanding Krishna every moment, understanding his desires and like that. So I would just say that it's a continuum, it's a process. But I also, I guess in response to what you're saying, there is some attraction, even at our neophyte stage. It's definitely there. And, you know, and we, it's certainly the scriptures and our previous acharyas tell us that it's obviously a higher stage to serve with attraction, with attachment, you know, with more spontaneous with love than simply out of duty. In fact, the dutiful approach to bhakti yoga is not so much, you know, doesn't get a lot of glorification, you know, by the Goswamis and by our acharyas. But yet, nevertheless, it's there. Nevertheless, it's a reality of our beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. So how this relates to determination and our faith when we enter these situations, I think that's part of the difficulty with when we're talking about some people don't seem to pass the test. Or, in other words, in a more neophyte stage, when one is simply acting out of duty, then there might be more of a tendency that if there's difficulties to leave the process. To say, you know, to think that the process isn't really working, why am I undergoing these difficulties, why do I have to put up with these devotees, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and as one makes some advancement and gains some real attraction and taste for Krishna consciousness, then I would, you know, I'm sort of just talking out of the top of my head, I haven't thought through this very thoroughly, but then it would seem as though that more real conviction, determination, and stronger real faith would be there as we advance.
See? The question, as you were speaking, I was rewording my question. It seems that it comes down to, is it actually a natural form of psychology that determination is proportionate to attraction to the goal, or if not attraction, at least a need to achieve it? Or can determination exist totally in the vacuum of this is right, therefore I should do it? Or is that dependent on the individual's psychology? Like, you know, you see these chachas, they make a vow and that's it. You know, it's like they give their word.
That is a complex subject. Because some people have natural qualities that they, like some people you see are extremely determined people even before if they're not devotees, whether they're devotees or not. You know, and some people seem to be just a little bit weaker, that it's hard for them to stay steady on any course of determination, whether it's material or spiritual. So some of this has to do with qualities that we have previously coming into this lifetime, I'm sure, or qualities that we've developed. But of course, once those qualities are aligned with Krishna consciousness, you know, then Krishna will certainly help to strengthen those qualities which are going to be favorable to devotional service. So in other words, one's, you know, strength of personality or character like that's not a determinant whether one is going to stay steady in Krishna consciousness necessarily. But I would say that it's a complex interaction of all of the things that you mentioned. Padama,
Two thoughts that I could share was sometimes they also say that faith is the beginning stage of love. That actually all those nine stages of dosha, something like that, is actually all love. So faith, is, just like you mentioned, attraction, it's also love. That's that element of it. And as it moves along, determination, because we're dealing actually directly with Krishna, it'll be brought up to the surface because sometimes it seems mechanical when you say different things like that, but it's a person we're dealing with, and it or an affection that it comes. I was wondering also if you could comment on when you're talking about the test or the exercises, it seemed to be a little distant. It happened to these people in the Bhagavatam some thousands of years ago, and it happened to Queen Kunti, and she did like this, it happened to Pandavas. But it seems like at every moment, we're being tested or having the opportunity to exercise. I sometimes think of it as like a comprehensive exam at every moment of everything that you know up to this point is being exhibited by how we do everything that we do. And I was just thinking, like for instance, the other day I thought, how come I'm not in samadhi? How come I stop remembering Krishna? What takes me away? And we can see that Bali, nothing took him away. They used every trick in the book, so to speak. They threw everything they could that usually causes me to go back into the mode of passion, see things as material or why, all those questions. But if you look at it sometimes the other way, why do I stop? You know, how come I stop during the day for a moment? I come into the temple, but as soon as we walk out the door and shut the door, now it's, the day starts, and I got all this other stuff I have to do. And, you know, it's amazing, just that little door right there. Sometimes I make it to the veranda, or maybe to the parking lot, and that's it. Get in the car, the phone's got its messages. And so how it is to, that it's not just a test, these big tests, it seems like it's a moment-to-moment situation, and then that intensity turns into all the next stages.
Absolutely. Every one of us is experiencing those tests all the time. Well, of course, the reason that the way that we handle these, that's why Bali Maharaj is in the Bhagavatam and I'm not. In other words, obviously these are the exceptional devotees who have undergone the most severe experiences and remain, you know, the most faithful, the strongest in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, but we all have in our own ways to go through these things. And while it may seem rather distant, what the Bhagavatam is meant to do is to instruct and to inspire us. You know, that this is the goal, at least to know that this is the goal, and to keep that in mind as we're undergoing our exercises.
Suppose we just ask, like, one day I could write down, or everybody could write down, how many different tests did we have today? Little test, big test. How many times did we just get swept away and didn't even think about it till the next day? You know, I finished my rounds, Prabhupada said, 16 rounds, now I can do anything. You know, it's like...
Sometimes we don't even recognize the test. Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and show you the Prabhupada.